tuning in to Podcast Viewfinder.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder. We look at the world around you, the news, movies, video games, music, TV shows, social media, and commercials to see what worldview they promote. Everything pushes a worldview, and we want to help you find your view.
I'm not a princess.
If you wear a dress and have an animal sidekick, you're a princess. Hey everybody, I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
I'm Adrian.
And I'm Luke.
Welcome to Podcast Viewfinder, episode 80 Dose.
80 Dose.
That's 82.
Wait, why would we change the name?
What?
He only said 80 because he doesn't know what 80 is in Spanish.
So. 80 y dos. Okay, so, hey, welcome to Podcast Viewfinder. This is the 82nd episode of this lovely show. We're going to try a new format today. Adrian, who is the woman in this group, is like, hey, we need to be more on topic, was like, hey, let's do an outline. So we're going to try to like be more succinct and to the point. And so we'd love your feedback. You can always leave reviews on Apple iTunes and wherever you listen to this podcast, or send us an email at podcastviewfinder@gmail.com. So, all right, we're going to start off with what we've been watching and listening to. And I are reading or playing a video game. Mm-hmm. So this week I watched a Christmas special. It was The Christmas of Many Colors. It was Dolly Parton's Christmas special. Okay. All right. So I got to give a little caveat, whatever.
Let's not get hung up on that.
So it was important that I pronounce words right. So my wife watches these shows, but I am a sucker for anything television. So it's like
what?
If there's a show on, like, television? It doesn't matter. It can be like 2 seconds into it, and I'm like locked in and asking questions.
My you are the advertiser's favorite person.
Yes, that's right. That's what Angela calls me.
I'm like that too. I wonder if it's because we didn't watch TV very much growing up.
I feel like why
is drool coming out of your mouth?
Yeah. So, so Angela was watching this, and I just happened to be there. So I was like, guess I'll watch it. And I get hooked in. I'm like, oh man. So it's the story of like Dolly Parton's childhood, like an instant in her life where, like, she was like learning what it was to be a star. She always wanted to be a star, but she like grew up in a family with 8 kids, maybe 9, and they were very poor. And her dad went off to work in the mines. But her mom kept having a dream about that they were going to, like, all her kids were going to be frozen and dead. And she, like, the mom couldn't do anything about it. And so her husband went off to work the mines, and they were, like, a very poor family. So this, like, giant blizzard hits their town, and they get, like, they live, like, kind of away from town in this little cabin, and so they get snowed in, and they can't leave, and so it's kind of like they're a couple days in the cabin where they're, like, freezing to death, and so everybody dies except Dolly. No, just kidding. But it was a very faith-based show, which I didn't, like, expect that to be like that, because at the end, I'm going to, spoiler alert, they come out one day and their whole like yard and everything's been cleared of the snow. Like it's not melted, but it's like been cleared enough so they can actually get out. Cause they couldn't even get out of their door.
Whoa.
So they had like, they were melting snow. They like broke windows and were melting snow to use for water. Like they didn't have anything and they had sold all their food cause they were trying to buy their mom a ring. And so they didn't have any food.
What? Why would anyone do that?
Well, the mom didn't know. And the kids did it.
Why would you buy your mom a ring?
Because they love their mom. They're like, they always
do
a sacrifice.
Then you don't buy her a ring. You give her something she can utilize.
So, so they ended up, there was this basket of food on their doorstep and all this stuff. And, like, Dolly Parton was like, it was an angel. She's like, I saw an angel, like, above, like, hovering above the yard or whatever. She's like,
whoa,
so, but, like, the whole movie, like, was about faith and, like, this, like, her, like, the husband, like, wasn't a believer, but when he came to Christ and was like, so at the end, like, Dolly Parton herself was there. She played a prostitute in the show.
Wow.
Really? Well, no, because Dolly Parton growing up, like, the reason she dresses the way she does in her style was because this prostitute was nice to her, but she didn't know what a painted lady. So, yeah, so this lady, like, encouraged her in her music and stuff, and, like, because she would play on the sidewalk, and so this lady came up and gave her money, and then people were like, you can't take that money. She's a bad person and all this stuff, and Dolly Parton's like, like, what? Why is she a bad person? So, she's like, I always wanted to look like that lady. That's why she wears like gaudy makeup and sparkly.
No way.
Yeah. And so, but at the end of the show, like Dolly Parton out of character, like says, hey, I'm like, you know, this time of season, like it's about Jesus. And she like kind of, I don't know if she necessarily walked through the gospel, but she kind of like gave a faith base, like, hey, this is what Christmas is about and you need Jesus in your life. I was like, oh, wow. It was good. So I enjoyed it. It was good fun. Job. So awesome. That's what I watched this week.
Well, it's my turn.
Oh, now so, we got to cut James.
And I've got 20 seconds. So I watched SAO. Or for those people who don't know, it's Sword Art Online.
Nice.
For the rest of us who watch anime on a regular.
Nobody does.
It's not good.
And yeah, it's no great.
You don't like Sword Art?
He doesn't know what he's talking about. Corbin, one of the people who've been on the podcast, he likes it a lot. There's a second season, not as good, but first season. So it's just about some people, they have nerve gear, and it's basically virtual reality, but it immerses your whole body because it plugs in. It's like the Matrix.
Okay.
And so people, this guy created it, but they get stuck in the system, and it's life and death. And so if you die in the game, you die in real life. If you try to escape... Ooh. From through like taking off the headset, you die because there's.
Didn't they make something. A movie about that?
I know,
yeah, probably. And so now they have their objective is to clear 100 floors of dungeons, basically, so Dungeons and Dragons, that's what the whole thing. And it's like years, so it doesn't explain. You don't see anything in the real life anymore. Everything takes place in virtual. So I don't know how these people are still surviving because you still need nourishment. It's real time, but it's pretty cool because you're like, man. I mean, here's a main character. He just got married, but they're like, does this happen in real life? Like, what happens when we escape? Will we find each other? Was this real? And so they're just...
So they got married in the game?
They got married in the game. Yeah, he's been living there for over 2 years now.
Oh.
And so...
It's...
Yeah, so... And they're just trying... And the population's dwindling, because when you die, you die. You don't come back. You don't respawn.
So what's the worldview that it pushes or talks about?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Oh, let's just say Sword Art Online, I don't like it. I'm an anime guy, too.
Let's look star.
I'll interject. There's just better ones that take that idea and just...
Do it better.
I don't know. I don't like the idea of being in a game as well. And Japan is obsessed with it.
Yeah.
There are a lot of animes where people are in games, and I've never liked it. But it's my turn.
Right.
I've been watching an anime, well, not really animated, but an animated show for all the middle school and high school kids, I guess, called the Justice League. They made a new reboot. So
Justice League includes, like, Batman.
Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman are the core. They're, like, in every Justice League series, and then it has some, like, other people.
Aquaman.
Depending on which one. But there's a series that James and I like so much that he actually... has it on DVD, I think, don't you? The Justice League series?
No.
The classic? You don't have that anymore?
No, I never did.
So I was really excited, because I love the Justice League. The DC.
The reboot, is it when did it come out? Like
this year.
Okay.
They're actually making episodes. It's like happening. You can watch next week. And the first episode I watched was with Superman and Wonder Woman, and it showed the conflict between Superman and Wonder Woman, which is great. Because in the older Justice League, they seem too similar.
Yeah.
And this one, Wonder Woman is more warrior-like, as in, like,
let's go Amazonian. Kill some fools? Yeah.
Well, she's more like a warrior, kind of like a Spartan-type attitude towards your enemies, while Superman is classic Superman. So it's like, I like that. I was like, Superman was showing compassion to his enemy. He's like, because his enemy just got hit by a meteor. You're like, what just happened? And he's like... Oh, it's a shame that he died. That's what he said. And Wonder Woman's like, he was a terrible enemy. He's like, he was still a living being.
Ah,
and
so
we needed to respect him. We'd not kill him. So that's why I like Superman. But
so what are some of the...
The worldview is actually dependent on each character that is like introduced.
Okay, so they have different...
Because, again, Superman's worldview is the classic Boy Scout worldview.
Yeah.
Where you respect everything.
And he's always prepared.
So, no, but that's question. Like, okay,
but that's
he'd respect alien life, right?
Yeah,
he'd respect all life. So, at what point do you? What point you're like, that's
no,
not like
what
worth
mean,
respecting?
But, what do you mean?
Is it only life that is like has an ability to think? And
what
has,
I mean
like,
by respect
conscience?
Is he doesn't just kill things.
He's like,
he
you know what? I want a burger. I'm gonna go kill that.
He tries to refrain him from dying. Like he doesn't kill his enemies because they're his enemies. That's not his goal.
He kills them.
Well, you just said he doesn't do it because they're like their life. They're human.
You'd have to watch the episode, James.
Okay. So is he like a humanist? But he's an alien. He's not even from this world.
Then watch the episode and make a decision of yourself. But what I'm trying to get at, this is why I like the Justice League, is because the worldview has always been dependent on who is in the spotlight in that episode.
Yeah.
Like, Batman's worldview has always been the guy who gets things done and he's like, faces reality. And he's like, we gotta face reality. We cannot be a super... Because Superman's always been... There's no impossible situations. I can always get out of everything.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Star Trek, when he's like, oh, I can cheat the system.
Kobayashi Maru.
Yeah, so, but Batman's always been, I don't know what you just said, but Batman's, when he's in it, he's like, I'm not Superman, of course.
Yeah.
So he's got to make tougher decisions. I'm wrapping it up, I'm just saying. The worldview... It's a good show. One complaint is that they're 11 minutes instead of the classic 20. That's what I've been noticing. People's attention span, I guess, is just so short.
It's only 11 minutes?
Yeah, 11.
I can do that.
11 minutes.
I know. That makes me angry.
I want to see it now.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's got to be like Stranger Things, an hour.
No.
It's cartoons.
Just like sometimes I feel like it's good.
I watch anime.
And then sometimes it's bad because I'm like, oh, I wanted to get more into that story. But
where can people watch this now? It's not on Netflix or anything.
Cartoon Network.
Okay.
Just watch it on... If you don't have Cartoon Network, then find a way. Maybe on Hulu.
Buy it.
Hulu.
All I know is that it was on Cartoon Network, and it was good. But worldview is dependent on the character, but...
I like shows that do that, where it's their worldview. The character building has gone so far to, their worldview... shapes either the episode or the way they react to the situation versus someone else.
That's why my friend Bill said we need to watch the Midnight Special. That show, the movie where the kid gets special powers.
Oh, yeah.
Because he said, like, everybody approaches that situation with a different worldview. He said, because it's this boy that has alien powers, and so people are like, oh, we should do this with them and all this stuff. And so okay, over Christmas break, we'll have to all watch that separately, maybe. Okay, Adrian...
Okay, this came out on DVD this week, so I rented it because I missed it in theaters. I watched Pete's Dragon, the new one, and
I love you too. Sorry, that's the old one. Okay,
okay.
What? Was it a musical?
No,
the old one, like
let her talk.
The old one is creepy.
The old one's great.
It has like weirdos kidnap the boy or something.
Yeah,
was it Pete?
Okay, that's not the case in this one.
They adopted him.
So
he used him for slave labor.
Basically, Pete lives in the woods with the dragon.
Okay.
His name's Elliot. So, and you were going to say
hey, that's my name.
So, then he's kind of a feral child in the woods with the dragon. And so, 6 years being on his own with the dragon in the woods, a ranger stumbles upon him. And it's kind of about him rediscovering what family is, and then also the dragon having an emotional reaction to that. It's more like a dog. That's kind of its personality is of a dog, but the dragon also misses his family. So I'd say the worldview, or at least the theme, is just kind of like why family is important and who is your family. And what makes them family. I would say for kids, I thought when I was watching, I was like, you know, 7-year-old Adrian would absolutely love this movie. It's just a kid and he has a dragon and he like gets to play in the woods and has a huge tree house and it's super awesome. But as an adult, it will be emotional for you. I have not cried that hard in a movie since Inside Out.
Since Inside Out, oh man.
Oh my goodness.
So I
don't know if I'm going to watch this.
It just has like, just kind of sad undertones that as a kid you don't really get, but as an adult it's just really sad.
The trailer made it look kind of funny though. Is it funny?
Yeah, it has great humor moments and just kind of like warm, heartfelt moments. So.
But then you cry the whole time.
Are there any differences between the original?
Yeah, Like everything.
Everything's different.
Because this one looks like a real dragon. The other one's like this cartoon.
Right. That's what I was looking at. This one looks like a real dragon. This does not seem like the original movie. It's got a good cast, too.
Just some fun characters, so.
The original movie was
musical. I would definitely recommend it.
Okay.
Let's stop talking about the original.
Okay.
I like the original. All right, everybody. It's time for Florida Foibles. James, you found this week's article.
I did. So I was Googling around because that's what I do.
Googling.
And I found that in Florida, they've got some thieves.
This is from the AG Web.
Stealing stuff. Yeah, AG Web. I don't know. Is that credible? It's from the Associated Press.
Yeah.
But a thief steals 400 orange trees. Baby orange trees. So
400 orange trees.
Yeah. Can you imagine 400 baby orange trees that were just planted?
What's a baby orange tree?
Does he have his...
Like Groot.
Like Groot. Yeah.
If you haven't seen that trailer, we'll talk about it later. But yeah, so 400 orange trees were stolen over like a week or something. And the police don't know where they went. And, yeah.
They so don't have... They didn't arrest him?
They don't know who took it. They don't got anything.
No, they did not. Yeah.
They got nothing. So
what if the trees just got up and walked away?
So,
and the trees are valued... Whoa. So, I don't know. Like, they're valued at $3,000.
Total.
We don't know if that's
we
all...
Don't know
no, this, since the trees were... Oh, yeah. I don't know. Okay. But here's what I'm thinking. It was a groundhog that came along and like pulled them down into the earth. Did they think about that theory?
Probably not. They probably didn't.
That's because that's a
you know what? You need to call in.
Okay. Well, there's lots of questions that arise. Where did they go?
Yeah.
What's this person going to do with them? Like, how do you hide you would, or plant?
Probably the owner of Tropicana. Them.
But how do you plant 400 orange trees without anyone noticing?
The same way you dug them all up. I think it'd be a lot harder to dig up 400
So what
orange
is it?
Trees.
So Orange Grove, is this like they supply, Tropicana, and then the other one supplies Minute Maid?
Yeah, Minute Maid. They're like, you know
what? If they're fighting?
Maybe it is.
What? Ooh, maybe Tropicana versus Minute Maid.
Dude,
it's like the
old
rival.
I'm a Tropicana guy myself.
I'm a Simply Orange guy.
Oh, yeah.
I will shell out the extra bucks for the Simply Orange. I can tell between concentrated and whatever I get.
Unconcentrated.
Oh, man.
Concentrated is
I like my orange juice to have ADHD. I don't want it to be concentrated.
What are you talking about?
It's a joke. It's an old blonde joke, chestnut of a joke.
I like.
Why did the blonde stare at the orange juice cart all day? Because it said concentrate. You remember that? You remember that's a good joke. Good joke.
I
know
that one.
Well,
I like my oranges
to
have
ADHD. My oranges have ADHD. No, this fresh squeezed orange juice from Fresh Market is really good too.
That's good to know. Well, I mean, that's amazing. 400 orange trees.
400, so...
And you dug them up. I mean, we have no idea the size of these orange trees.
They're babies, so they're probably like little...
Did it say babies?
Yes.
What is baby orange tree? That doesn't actually help.
It's a small... Like, if you were planting a baby tree...
No.
Now, wait. Actually, we don't know if it's a baby. It's just 400 newly planted orange trees. These could be old trees, but they're newly planted. Can you imagine 400...
But you couldn't dig those up. Without anyone noticing.
And you'd have to have a semi. Like, there's no... Even if there are small trees, it's not going to fit in the back of a pickup. 400 trees?
That's so what...
They made several trips?
I'm telling you, the trees, they're sentient.
It was
they
all
got
done
up,
in a week.
And they walked away.
So trees they've been doing it every night? Well, why did... After like
who
a couple...
Who said just the night?
After
right
a couple days,
day
you think they would be like, let's put our surveillance camera out.
Hey, but man, didn't we have more...
We lost 100 trees last night.
How often do you check
your trees? They died already.
How often do you check your trees?
Yeah, how often do you go out and check your trees, Chris?
Tuesday.
I mean, I know that you look at your neighbor's trees.
Well, a week went by.
Yeah, my neighbor's trees, they got them chopped back, way back.
Yeah.
So, this is a crazy story. So, if you live in Florida and you have an orange tree in your front yard, hide it.
Or if you have one that wasn't there, give it back.
Hide your trees. Hide your wife.
Now, what if they did it for a good cause? Is that okay?
No.
So the ends don't justify the means?
So it was like, I've got to provide for my family.
Let's not get into this, James.
Yeah, what possible use could 400 orange trees have?
Exactly.
You couldn't go... They're like, I need to get oranges
well,
in about 10 years. They've matured.
If they were worth $3,000
each. Thanks ahead.
That's $1 million.
If they were $3,000 each. But I don't think they were that much. I don't think an orange tree...
But you think these were $10 a piece then? $10?
I don't know. I'm not an orange tree farmer.
Orange trees
I can see orange trees being $1 million. Serve a purpose.
$400.
Actually, it does.
What? Yeah. Because you haven't bought a real tree this year.
Good. Do you have a real tree?
No.
Why not?
Why don't you like real trees? Why don't you
Okay, we're getting off topic. All right.
Well, it's Christmas.
I looked up how much does an orange tree cost. These are like $128.74.
Wait, that one's $7.50.
The Dwarf Meyer lemon tree is $7.50.
Whoa. Well,
let's maybe they are $10 a piece.
The Dwarf Bear Root is $70. So. Uh-huh. Oh, orange trees for sale. Shop Moon Valley Nurseries at $599 in stock.
So,
whoa.
So maybe that, if they were
stole
like.
Them.
Yeah, if it was three, I could maybe see 3,000 then, right?
Because then it'd be worth it, right?
If it was a.
If I'm selling it for 3,000, heck, I'll try to steal it.
Orange tree is 79 years old.
James, no.
It's millions of dollars. All right,
guys,
don't
steal trees.
Don't steal. And what did we learn? That Florida, they steal weird things. They do weird things. Maybe a guy got eaten by an alligator later. All right. It's time for a... I'm laughing. I can't do it.
Oh, my gosh.
What goes the culture.
What is happening here?
My finger broke. I don't know. Okay. Top three weekend movies. James.
Hey, I'm back. Moana,
number one
again,
which I saw. It's a great movie. Stay after the credits. There's a secret after the credits.
A stinger.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. 18 million.
Which Adrian and I saw a couple weekends ago.
Yeah.
And The Arrival with over 7 million.
I haven't seen it.
I saw that.
So basically, any of the new movies that came out didn't get in the top five.
Yeah, nothing did.
Nobody cares about them.
So Fantastic Beasts is hanging on there.
But I mean, we do care. So.
All right. We need sounds for this next segment that we're going to start. It's time for the Worldview Machine.
That was good.
Oh, all right. My.
Well,
so,
to record something.
Adrian invented this cool device that can help us sift through the worldview of anything.
Okay. And so this is something we want you guys to do when like you're watching a movie or listening to music, watch a TV show, is to ask these questions. And so this week,
reading a book.
We are reading a book.
Rare occasion, I know.
We're going to be talking about one of our favorite Christmas movies, A Muppet Christmas Carol. This might even be up there in like favorite movies
of all time.
It is. I would say my favorite movies go in this order: Lord of the Rings.
All of them. Wait, does that include The Hobbit?
Wait,
no.
Out of all movies ever, this is it right here. This is it.
Yeah, Muppet Christmas Carol probably number two.
Lord of the Rings trilogy number two. Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Wait, Lord of the Rings trilogy.
That's three movies.
Yeah, you can't do
so
that.
So number four is Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Okay.
Okay, and then where does Hobbit land? No, Hobbit is not.
We
there
need
all
to actually use the worldview machine.
All right, so Muppet Christmas Carol, if you have not seen this movie, go spoiler see it. Some people, yeah, spoiler alert. People are like, oh, Muppets. But this movie is fantastic.
Who says that?
Adrian, you're coming to our house on Friday.
I am, but we're watching Elf.
Oh, yeah, Elf. Never mind. Sorry. I thought we were watching this.
We can watch this. I would like that.
Okay. So, one, are there any themes that promote a certain worldview within this movie? So, this is about the Christmas Carol. Yes, this is a classic. So,
but with Muppets.
Yeah. What are the themes that promote a certain worldview?
The flying fish that come back.
What?
Do you not remember that scene?
The boomerang fish?
Yeah, the boomerang fish.
It's
the most memorable scene.
No, it's not. Okay. We'll talk about our favorite scene later.
Okay, so. Yeah, our favorite scenes later. All right. So, certain worldview that's promoted.
I mean, I believe it has a very Christian worldview.
Yeah.
He looks at his past, his present, and his future, and kind of reevaluates his life.
What I want to do with my life are the choices that I've made up to this point, good choices or bad choices. And when he looks back, he's like, oh, I used to be happier back in the day. Why? Because I wasn't so greedy. And it's like, currently there are people that still love me and care for me, and I could pursue them and be kind.
I don't think he was happier.
Yes, he was.
I think...
He looked back and saw that he loved that girl. Philippe,
I don't think he really loved her.
Yeah, he did.
He loved his money more.
Yeah, well, he... Over time...
But that is a, he was treat, is it didn't have to do anything with the girl,
the
I don't think. It was more just...
See? There was love there.
Yeah.
Well, so Marley comes in... Marley and Marley, in this
it's
case.
Marley and Marley.
Come and visit him, and they say these are the chains we forged in life. But like, don't...
It didn't start that way, but they've made it.
He said, your chain...
Yeah, like, your chains are twice as long, and you need to do something about them, basically.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I think it promotes selflessness about, like, hey, material wealth isn't really worth anything if people don't love you. You don't have love. You don't have anything worthwhile in life because your stuff doesn't make you happy. Because he wasn't happy. He wasn't a happy guy. He was very mean. All right. Question number two, Adrian. What does this portray as the means to happiness?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what we were talking about. Like, what is the means to happiness? It obviously was not money, riches,
status.
Yeah. So he had the change of heart and it just kind of said, your happiness is your generosity, your love towards other people, what you can give of others, not what you can get.
Do not consider yourself better than others. Who was that verse? I'm totally botching that verse.
He didn't go to Taylor, so that explains everything. Right, man. Taylor, all the moderate. All
right, then what is the verse, James? You went to Oakland City.
What's the verse?
The
question?
What, do not consider others.
What
are
you
saying? As you're looking it up.
So here's what I think the happiness is. So at the end of the movie, Scrooge realizes...
Are you talking about Philippians 2:3? Is that the one?
Yes.
Sorry.
Wait, let Luke finish his thought.
Well, at the end of the movie, Scrooge realizes that he doesn't need the money that he thought. He's obsessed. So at the beginning of going back in the past, he's obsessed with providing for, like, his sister. They don't actually talk about it that much. And he's obsessed with providing for his love of his life. And so what's always in the back of his mind is, do I have enough money? Because Scrooge was born to a really poor family. Okay? So
what? Oh, I didn't.
So his happiness, he was always obsessed with having enough money to make sure those around him were happy. But because of the obsession of the money, it was just overwhelmed everything else. And that's what he became in the end. But at the end of the movie, he realizes, I've got it. I don't need to be obsessed with the money. I can make people happy with who I am rather than the money.
Yeah.
And he changed his ways. He's like, money, because when you grow up poor, you might start to become obsessed with money because you're like, that's what makes people happy. Yeah. Right? And he's like, that's why he's afraid to marry his...
Wife.
Not wife, but his love interest, because he's like, I just need a little bit more money to provide for the family. That's what it always was. And she's like, oh, you said that like a month ago or something.
Yeah.
And we have tons of money. But he was so afraid
he wouldn't be able to provide.
It ruined who he was going forward. So by the end of the movie, he realized that was his mistake. It wasn't money that made people happy.
And I think that's like one of the saddest parts of that movie, because there's other things that he can correct, like his relationship with Bob Cratchit, his relationship with his nephew Fred, but he can't repair that relationship with that lady, because that's already... he could marry her if
she's dead, I think.
I don't know.
And that's why he says, I'm going to live in the past, the present, and the future, because he doesn't want to have those mistakes anymore.
Yeah.
Well, the Scrooge is a tragic character, because you cannot really blame him for becoming who he was altogether by himself, because he did grow up in poverty or impoverished.
Did he? He went to that boarding school.
I don't. I think it was like a public school.
Well, his mother was dead.
Oh, she died.
His father didn't.
Yeah.
His
father didn't have a great life of family.
Right.
And so he became obsessed early on with the wrong thing, and no one was there to help him, because the Marleys were not good mentors, or the Marley, the real Bob
Headmaster.
They're not that great of a mentor,
right,
for him. And that's how he got worse. But Scrooge is a great character. Man, Charles Dickens, what a writer.
So here's the verse. It's Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And so I think at one point he was looking to other people's interests. Like, hey, we got to have money to have a good health, good life, a good lifestyle when we get married and all this stuff. And like... But then it became like, oh, wait, I'm going to keep this for myself. And I wonder if that his woman leaving him became that's where he turned inverted and was like, okay, I'm just focusing on me now.
But what's crazy is he had tons of money, but he was a miser. He just never spent it. He was so cheap because he had like cheap clothes. He never used the coal. He used very little coal.
He ate a spot of mustard.
So he had all this money, but he was incredibly cheap still. Because he just felt like he never had enough.
Yeah.
Kind of like a dragon from The Hobbit.
Well, maybe. I mean, it gave him security. If anything ever happened to me, I'm secure. Because I have. And you don't. You live... I mean, what does he tell his nephew? When he's talking to his nephew.
Oh. What reason do you have to be happy? You're poor enough.
Yeah.
He says, what reason do you have to be dismal? You're rich enough.
Okay. Oh, fuck me.
Okay. These lines are so good.
So do they portray good as good and evil as evil?
I don't understand that question.
I have a quote for that. Good quote for that. So I think what we mean by do they portray good as good and evil is just we need to make sure that the things that they're saying are okay in movies, are they really okay? Like, let's say premarital sex. Like, in some movies, that's going to be portrayed as really good.
Yeah.
So just to kind of keep your eye out on that is like, oh, this situation actually isn't good. Sorry, a little off topic, is why I don't like The Notebook very much, because you root for them so much and you want them to be together, but you lose sight of they're actually in other relationships and they're like treating those people really poorly, but you don't care about that. You kind of villainize their
that's every others. Nicholas Spark movie.
Right. So anyways,
I was hit by a train.
So that's is this really portraying good as good and evil as evil? So,
okay. That's a good question. You understand now, Luke?
I still don't understand.
No, because there's stuff that, like, movies and culture will say, oh, this is okay, these relationships are okay, you can do this, and like, it's okay, but, like, when it's compared to the Bible says, no, that's not okay. So, I mean, I think, like, it's Training Day, I've never seen Training Day, but, like, you kind of root for, do you root for Denzel Washington in that movie? I don't know. I haven't seen
Training Day. I thought he was bad. What? He's so bad.
Well, let's go with, like, any of the Christopher Nolan movies. They're not really a good guy or a bad guy. Like, in Prestige. The Prestige, like, both of them are like...
What are you talking about? Batman.
I root for Batman the whole time.
Also, in Prestige, there is a good character.
Michael Caine.
Also
plays Scrooge.
Spoiler, one of the twins is super nice, and you don't find out until the end, and then you're like... What? That's why it seems so weird. One was like a huge jerk, and one was really nice.
Yeah, but they're both like competing against each other, and they're mean to each other. So
no, there's three people competing.
Okay. All right. Well, most Christopher Nolan movies.
At the end, the good twin survives. He lives, while the bad twin, who murdered a guy, or I don't know what happens, he dies.
I don't know. Anyways, but yeah, so that's what we're talking about. Like, there's like, are there good guys and bad guys? Is the things that are good,
yeah, Matthew McConaughey,
truly
good,
or are they okay? So in this movie, you're not quite.
So when Jacob Marley comes to visit Scrooge, Scrooge says, "But why do you have these chains? You were always a good man of business. Like, he did good things in his business, and." Marley replies, business, mankind was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The deals of my trade were just a drop of water in the ocean of my business. So,
wait, was that from Muppet Christmas Carol?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he says it or not. They say it or not.
But something along
the way. We got to address the Muppet part.
Our favorite scenes.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so I said they do portray good as good and evil as evil because in this movie. I can't think of anything not appropriate, but... All right. Favorite scene and why?
James, what was your favorite scene?
I like Rizzo the Rat when he gets knocked off. Like into the
ice thing. Bucket.
Yeah, it's great.
Wait, that's where he goes, light the lamp, not the rat, light the lamp! Yeah, and he like pushes him into the bucket and he comes out, he's like a rat.
A popsicle rat.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's the best. Him and
Fozzie Bear.
Him and Gonzo's.
Oh my goodness.
Their banter.
Yeah, it's
so
perfect.
Funny.
I know the story like the back of my hand.
Prove it.
There's a mole.
It's like that. It's like, oh, Mr. Omniscient. Oh, hoity toity godlike character. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Okay, so that's your favorite part.
Yeah, that's
the,
great.
The rat into the.
The rat,
okay.
The
oh no, it doesn't beat. So right after that scene, there's a better scene with Fozzie Bear where he gives a speech that's like one sentence long, and that's it. And then the hecklers, they start heckling. The Marlies. And then they're like, oh, it's amazing. It was so short.
Because it was short. It was to the point. I loved it. All right. Adrian, favorite part?
My favorite part is when Rizzo they have to climb over a fence. Rizzo's sitting at the top of it, and he doesn't want to jump. And it takes forever for him to jump, and he finally does, and he screams, and he pops out, and he's like, oh, I forgot my jelly beans, and he just goes through the holes in the fence, and then runs back, and Gonzo's like, you could have done that the whole time, like, all this stuff, and he just leans over and kisses him on the nose to, like, calm him down.
He had his frozen jelly beans.
It's so cute.
And that's where the Helms grandmother got the idea for frozen jelly beans.
No, that's where the Muppets got their idea.
They trick or treat at your mom's house. Grandma's house. So right. My favorite part is at the end when he gives the two guys that came and collected earlier and he threw them out and threw the wreath on them or whatever. Yeah. Benson Honeydew and Beaker. Yeah. And he like gives them a bunch of money and tells them he's going to give them more. And Beaker like looks at him and he like takes off his scarf and gives it to him. Oh man, like I like tear up with that part. I'm like, yeah. Oh, because it's like
because then, Scrooge reaction to that was like,
man, Michael Caine is so good as Scrooge.
Oh, he is
because he's like
the best Scrooge
for me. And he like he I don't know if he tears up, but he's like
he does a little.
He's
bit.
Like no, he just like realizes the importance of. Gift giving and like I mean it's just yeah this guy that's out collecting for charity and he like doesn't have anything, he's like here's what I have to give you, and like and he realizes the sacrifice of that gift and you're like oh it's so good, like oh, just when it gives him that
and then
like,
they sing when love is found and when cry love my eyes
found.
Oh man, my mom made us sing the song that they sing in the Day of Christmas Present. The Cratchits, what was that?
Maybe a street corner choir.
No.
Everybody's at home getting warm.
No, when they're at the Bob's house and they're singing right before they eat their food. I can't remember what it was. Bless us all or whatever.
Bless us all.
Yeah, my mom actually made us sing that as a kid. We had to record it and learn the lyrics.
All right, man.
Oh,
good job.
You know what? We could Windy. Talk now. We could talk about the socioeconomic points made by this movie as well.
Okay.
But we won't.
No. Okay.
You guys don't want to go into
we don't have time for that.
All right. Adrian, you had a article that you wanted to talk about briefly before we get to our discussion question for the day. All right. So this is a good article. It's from Bloomberg.com. And the name of the title of the article is Confession of an Instagram. I forgot the last word.
Influencer.
There it is. Okay. So, yeah. Adrian.
So, this is a world that I had been a part of and didn't know it. So, this article was pretty enlightening. As I talked about a couple of weeks ago, I tried to experiment and get Instagram famous and do all the things I thought were right, like using all the hashtags and trying to take more professional photos and all this stuff. Little did I know there's a lot more behind the scenes going on that actually make people famous. And that is what this guy who wrote the article did. So right off the bat, he just kind of lays it out there that Instagram has attracted a professional class and they're called influencers. They turn good looks and taste into income stream. Brands will pay them to feature their wares. And then it says, look a little more closely at your Instagram feed. And you'll probably notice that attached to the post of the hotel lobby, the heels or the, you know, the pretty food or whatever, there's a hashtag ad or hashtag SP, which says that that means SP means a sponsored post.
Oh, so you have to hashtag, if it's sponsored, you have to tell people.
You have to say post sponsored or promoted, right?
Hashtag ad rather than SP now.
So it's saying that there are actually thousands, perhaps tens of thousands of what they call influencers making a living. So if, according to like, it has a chart, if you have 10,000 to 100,000 followers, you can make $250 per post. And then it keeps going up the more followers you have, but if you have 50 million followers or more, you can get $100,000 per post.
what?
So people are just making...
You are Kardashian.
Yeah. You're making your entire living off of posting things on Instagram. So
that's crazy.
His experiment was just interesting because he had to get a professional like hair and makeup team. He had to buy a whole wardrobe from...
This is the company telling him you have to do this.
Yeah. Okay. He actually had a company there.
Was there a company called...
Yeah. Called Socialite, and they help people become Instagram famous, basically. He spent 12 hours on a photo shoot, like going around New York and changing clothes and posing and all this kind of stuff, so that he can like build this backlog. So then he can post, like, you're supposed to post 3 times a day. 2 have to be him in it, and 1 has to be just like a food picture or something. So he said he didn't have time for food pictures, and he didn't eat well enough, and it was costing him too much. So the company told him to buy photos from a local photographer who photographs food. So the interesting thing I thought was, he asked her, "Do I need to
get photo credit?
Do I need to give you photo credit?" And she said, "No, this is my job to supply you photos. It's your job to make people believe that you're living this life."
Ooh,
see. That's a great job right there. Not the Instagram job, but the job telling people this is what to do. Because they'll pay you, and then they'll fire you eventually when they fail, but you'll still be getting that money. And people are obsessed. People are obsessed with being famous, so...
Well, Instagram... So this is an interesting point in the article. He said, I should mention I've been spending a lot of time on Instagram, the app for sharing photos that is also, according to sociologists in my own experience, a perfectly designed self-esteem subversion service. Whereas Snapchat encourages users to create rainbow vomit selfies that disappear after 24 hours, Instagram's sleek design and flattering filters encourage its more than 500 million users to sexify their landscapes and soften their harshest features. It helps them turn snapshots into something out of the glossy pages of a lifestyle magazine. So that's an interesting, like, because a lot of middle school and high school students like Snapchat more because it's the instant, funny, like, even though it's called Instagram, it's still, like, Snapchat is, I can do these things with my friends. It's more of a social thing, whereas Instagram is becoming more of a, like,
I have to sell it.
Cool stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Twitter?
Twitter what?
What about?
That's what everybody says.
Where you can do a very similar thing on Twitter.
Twitter's dying.
If you have a lot of followers, you can make money as well.
They have a lot of abuse problems.
So you can make money on...
Yeah, because they have hashtag ad on Twitter as well, and you can... You can do something very similar on Twitter as well. I mean, it's not as picture-focused. It might be focused towards... an idea, be like, oh, I'd say something and then say...
I think Twitter is, like, clever, and it's supposed to be, like, who's the funniest that gets retweeted, and then, like, political
plus
in a
Trump,
way.
Yeah, right? Trump?
Oh, man, they made fun of him on the opening of Saturday Night Live. This guy's, like, a high school student, and he's like, I just got retweeted. And they're like, who would retweet that? And it's like, Trump's like, I just retweeted this high school guy. And he's like, and then they're like, they would turn to the camera and be like, no, he actually did these things. And so he's like retweeting all these different people. But so, wait, okay, back to this Instagram guy. What did he end up, how many followers did he end up getting? Like, do you know what it jumped to? Was there anything?
He said in day one, because of all the hashtags and stuff, he went from 200 followers to 600. And then by the next day, he was at like 1,200, I think. So he kept doubling his, but he...
It'll slow down eventually.
Yeah, I mean, he stopped.
Of course.
I think he stopped at a certain point because he only did it for... His experiment was to get a sponsored post. So once you get a certain number of followers and stuff, you kind of become on this radar. So he had a guy from San Francisco contact him and say, I'll send you a shirt and a check or whatever if you... like take a picture with my shirt on. And so he did that, and then his experiment was over because he just wanted to see how long it took to get to that point.
And how long did it take?
I think it only took him like 2 or 3 weeks. But
what?
But he
and
spent,
what am I doing here?
No, he spent fast. Like $2,000 on the like the company and
but
the
he
wardrobe.
Got a free shirt. I mean, come on.
You gotta spend money to make money.
I know.
It's called investment.
So but was Bloomberg paying him to write this article? Or
yeah,
is it just, okay.
I think they were sponsored. sponsoring him and stuff.
Oh, man, like, what?
But then when he said that this is not for me, this lifestyle, I can't maintain it, so I'm just going to become a normal rider again. And he's like losing.
He said there's something tacky about using hashtag live authentic, which has been deployed more than 14 million times to get strangers to look at pictures that essentially amount to advertisements. But every influencer I spoke with assured me that hashtags worked. So hashtags it would be. So that's how you get people. I mean, hashtags are what make. I mean, yeah. When I post this podcast, I try to put specific hashtags.
He wants to get hashtags
everything in the dictionary.
So wait, how long will it take for this podcast to get super famous? Right now, we're just at famous.
We have to follow
100,000 followers.
maybe 10.
1,000?
We've had over 3,000 unique listeners to our podcast.
This follows the formula of like a lot of social media. So YouTube's one of those.
We still have 7,000 to go before we get 250.
So next week, with Adrian managing the podcast now, we're expecting big bumps. And, I mean, hopefully next week we'll even have video.
No,
maybe sound effects for our
virtual.
I wanted to mention something. Like, this reminds me of YouTube, because like, when Instagram started, I bet this was what happened. With YouTube, when it started, you'd find all these videos, and they'd be, like, funny. But now, if you go on YouTube, you'll just find so many ads, basically, and disguised as videos. Like,
yeah,
because that's the goal. If you want to make videos on YouTube, your goal is to have someone
sponsor you.
So you get that's money. It. Because you get the
like,
free
makeup
stuff.
Tutorials, Disney. There's a whole bunch of Disney crazies out there. That get their
all
little niches.
Disney's crazies.
That's why I'm like, man, YouTube. I wish the glory days when it's just all these stupid videos like, what was it called? What was that? Star Wars Kid.
Oh, yeah.
That was the best. And now you see Star Wars Kid, but it's like, it was
the shoes.
No, Star Wars
what
Kid.
What are those?
That wasn't like.
I don't know. I know what you're talking about.
What's the word?
Staged. Viral. Oh.
No, Star Wars Kid wasn't staged, but now everything.
Now they stage the stuff.
And it's like, oh, it's so disgusting.
So, let's skip this discussion question. Can we save it for next week? Because you can go on my Facebook page, Chris Shadowin, and answer the question. What is your favorite Christmas tradition? We'll talk about that next.
Oh man, I'm so excited about that one. I'll get the best.
Okay, so James is
cranberry sauce.
So that's a little teaser for next week. So in closing, we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to. So, like, movies coming out, video games. All right, so this week was the PlayStation Experience, which is
PSX.
It's a conference just for PlayStation fans. And so
you can't have regular fans?
No. So they have a keynote speech. And this was better than their E3. It was amazing. So it started off with this amazing trailer for a new game called Uncharted The Lost Legacy. It wasn't a trailer. I think it was gameplay stuff. And so you get to play some of the people that are part of the Uncharted world, but you normally don't get to control them. And so The Lost Legacy, you get to play some of the characters, the franchise. It looks really good. The graphics look incredible. So I don't know when it's coming out, but it's DLC for Uncharted 4. So I'm going to get some DLC. I don't think it's free, though. Probably not.
What is DLC?
Downloadable content. So you get it's like extra stuff that comes out after the game. And actually, Uncharted 4 has been like churning out downloadable content for their multiplayer quite a bit. So I might have to revisit that game soon. And then they closed the show with this. They had a bunch of other announcements that are really good. But this one, it was for The Last of Us Part 2.
Ooh.
Okay, Last of Us is one of those games I can't recommend because there's a lot of language and it's very violent.
But he says it's
like but story-wise and even gameplay-wise, it's one of like my favorite games just because it tells a story. It's like, here's a story we want to tell, and we told that story. There's not choices, there's not multiple endings, there's not any of this stuff. They tell a story, and it's very gritty, and it's in a world like where basically zombies...
Choice. At the end.
No, you get no player choice.
No, there's one player choice at the end.
No.
Yes, there is.
I played the game.
And I played the game, too.
No, you didn't. You
watched
the video. I watched
other people play the game, and they were talking about that choice.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
So, there's no choice in the game, but...
there is one player choice.
So, at the very end, it was a great game. So, this one, the trailer is really good. I can't tell you what it is because if you haven't played the first one, but it was good. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Awesome. I am looking forward to a movie called The Passengers, or Passengers, something like that.
It's Passengers, got, I think.
Chris Pratt, Luke's favorite guy. I mean, it looks great. They're in space. They wake up early. They're supposed to be traveling to a different universe or something like that. And they woke different up earlier. Universe.
Yeah. You mean planet? They're
crazy. No, universe.
We don't know what they're traveling to.
I have no idea.
They're going somewhere.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, I don't care about Jennifer Lawrence.
They're the only two Chris Pratt. People in the whole movie. Just kidding, that's not true. Okay.
Adrian?
Well, I thought somebody was going to talk about it, but I guess I will.
Star Wars Rogue One?
No, we can talk about that next week.
Okay.
What are you going to talk about?
Well, I'm going to talk about the trailer I saw today, and then you guys told me to watch it after I'd already seen it.
So okay.
You heard it here first. Go check out
Mummy.
iTunes trailer, yeah, for The Mummy.
The Mummy.
Oh, man.
So okay. It is not a remake, or it could be, I don't know yet, or completely unrelated, but it's Tom Cruise.
Man.
Enough said.
Enough said. And we don't know if by the trailer or not, if he actually gets turned into a mummy.
Yeah, make sure you watch the extended trailer, because it's like 2.5 minutes, because the other one is not good. I've heard. I don't know. But, yeah. Dude, I loved The Mummy growing up, and so I was excited about this. This one looks crazy.
This one looks maybe too action-y for
me. This one's
like Mission Impossible. Right. It's The Mummy.
This one looks a lot more serious than the other Mummy. Like, Brendan Fraser is...
Serious? People died.
Brendan Fraser was really funny.
It's more like an Indiana Jones type, but this is more like Mission Impossible.
Yeah, that's why I like the original Mummy, because it was Indiana Jones style.
Luke, what are you looking forward to?
Man, I am looking forward to, I don't know, things.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
Actually, I know what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh.
I know you just said it, but I really wanted to say it again. I like
Chris
Guardians
Pratt
of the
again?
Galaxy because Chris Pratt's in it. And he's hilarious. Also, because I think Guardians of the Galaxy 1, when I saw the original trailer, I told everyone it's going to be amazing, and everyone laughed at me. They're like, it's going to be dumb. Looking at you, James.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did. You and Jonathan.
I was one of those people.
No, didn't say that.
You guys said
who owns it on Blu-ray? Not
Adrian
Blue.
Said it.
I was definitely one of those people. But
and it was
turned out so
I would
wrong.
Say,
so
yeah,
wrong.
It was, I think it's my favorite Marvel movie.
Wow, that's really
you,
taking
it's
it far.
Chris Pratt carries the movie. Just like...
He is
movie.
The main actor.
Jurassic World.
Jurassic
and
World.
The soundtrack.
If he wasn't in Jurassic World, I can't
be
think
terrible.
Of another character who would... He's just...
So
either he's the new thing.
Luke, celebrity crush, everybody.
Oh, it's because I saw... If you see him in Parks and Rec, you're like, is this the same character? Because in Parks and Rec, he's like a fat guy who's... He's still funny. But he's just like...
Well, yeah, because he got buffed for one of the... Like, in between...
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they like come back, he's like... So you just stopped drinking beer? And he's like, yep. He's like, that's incredible. How much weight? He's like, enough or something. But that's all like,
yeah, that's
part,
how
right?
they
have
to deal just, with it, huh? That's great.
Yeah.
There's other movies he was in. Wanted. Chris Pratt.
I don't remember that. Really?
He was like, he got hit by a keyboard by the main guy.
Wanted?
In the face. You know, remember Wanted?
You know, the dodge bullet dodging?
Yeah, he was in that.
Oh, just briefly?
He was in it briefly.
Weird.
There's so many movies Chris Pratt's been in, you guys don't even realize. Now you're going to want to go back and watch him.
He's
like,
also, from what I understand,
a Christian.
Pretty good Christian, so that's why
yeah,
Chris
he
Pratt's
loves
great.
Jesus.
Yeah, he puts a lot of stuff. All right, thanks for tuning in to Podcast Viewfinder, episode 82.
80 dose.
I'm one of your hosts, Chris.
80
I'm
dose.
James.
I'm Adrian.
And I'm Luke. I'm Chuck.
We'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder. Just because we talk about a game, movie, book, show, or celebrity does not mean we endorse them or the product. So we want you to use discernment about what you take in. So look it up before you consume and see you next time. Podcast Viewfinder.